This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
I know there's this kind of intense speculation that seems to be going on, I don't know how you would describe it. It's kind of a churning.
Frenzy.
Frenzy is how the secretary would describe it. But the subject didn't come up.
President Bush and his co-star, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, at a press conference in Crawford, Texas, Wednesday, both of them insisting that a meeting with national security advisors was not convened to discuss the question of military intervention in Iraq. Dan Chor is away, and we're awfully pleased to be joined by NPR's Linda Wertheimer. Linda, thanks for being with us again.
Thank you very much, Scott.
Last night, we will note, in California, President Bush at the same time said, or a couple of days later said, I will make the case to the American public as to why intervention in Iraq is important. He said, I believe the quote was, the world's worst leaders cannot be allowed to develop the world's worst weapons. Has this debate, in a sense, gotten ahead of policymaking?
Well, I think that that the president has made it perfectly clear that he wants Saddam Hussein gone. I think we have to take him at his word that that is American policy. But American presidents are not solo performers, of course. Dissent has to be taken into account before the nation embarks on any great enterprise. And when a good friend and a fellow Texan, like House Majority Leader Dick Armey, says in a very public way that invading another country in anticipation of using those terrible weapons is not what America is about or should be about, the president has to take note of that. And there are other Republicans who are raising questions. Former Bush senior official Brent Scowcroft, Senator Chuck Hagel of Nebraska have raised questions. And all this conversation, but particularly, I think, the questions raised by Majority Leader Armey have opened the debate. Mm-hmm. And the president, I think, is indicating that he's going to enter the debate.
What about the state of public support?
Well, I think that one of the critical factors here are the allies, and that's critical in terms of public support. Britain, for example, was critical in the Gulf War and in Afghanistan, and they'd be a very important factor in any war plan if they were reluctant to be involved. Mm-hmm. Also, the reluctance of the Europeans, the opposition of the Arab states. Polls show that while most Americans believe Saddam Hussein is a real threat to the U.S., and many believe he's at least partly responsible for September 11th, the number of Americans willing to go to war goes substantially down if they're asked if this country should proceed without allied support. Polls show that the country is not opposed to war with Iraq, but it is evenly divided. Mm-hmm. Obviously, nobody loves war. Presidents in the past have had to make unpopular decisions to engage in wars that they think are necessary to protect the country. But I think in this situation, politics is obviously going to play an important role in any decision that the leader of the greatest power in the 21st century makes.
Mm-hmm. And given your political experience, does this throw off the case that the president might have wanted to make running up to the midterm elections?
Well, being involved in trying to protect this country from from terror and from the effects of no, I don't think so. I think that if the president indicates that he is, you know, prepared to moderate his approach, to make the case, to convince the people, I think that's something that the American people would find reassuring.
Okay. Let's ask about events this week in the subcontinent, because there's renewed tensions again between India and Pakistan. Two countries traded accusations, although not artillery shells yet. Those were exchanged in a raid in the mountains along the Kashmir border. Deputy Secretary of State Richard Armitage is in the region this weekend. How important is this latest flare-up?
I think any flare-up is worrying because of the unfortunate fact that both powers are capable of launching nuclear weapons at each other. The United States is now, of course, a great friend to both countries. I've seen some analysis of the situation that suggests that the flow of U.S. investment into India, particularly high-tech investment, limits India's interest in escalating conflicts because this is playing a huge role in their economy. Certainly, the very close relationship between the United States and Pakistan, forged in Afghanistan, means that Western influence is very strong there, too. So it seems to me that probably the United States has considerable leverage in attempting to tamp down this conflict, leverage that perhaps might not have always existed. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is a religious-based conflict on that border, and that's unpredictable, difficult, and I think always frightening.
Let me ask about the complexity of U.S. relations with Pakistan at the moment, because this week the president, Pervez Musharraf, a great friend of U.S. policy in the region, said he's changing the country's constitution in a way that certainly substantially increases his grip on power, lessens the hold that any other democratic institutions have. Does that put the United States in a bad way?
Well, he has indicated that he wants to appoint the chief justices, the justices of the mm-hmm. Supreme Court. He said that he wants to diminish the power of the national legislature, and that he wants to ensure his ability to stay in office for a substantial period of time beyond his term. Mm-hmm.
Attractive to any chief executive, I'm
we
sure.
might be tempted to point out that the administration wants to unseat undemocratic leaders in Iraq, but has not yet stood up and started yelling about Pakistan. But, in Pakistan, we're talking about our good friend and an all-important ally in the war on terror. And I think reality has to intrude upon idealism in this one. Musharraf has been essential mm-hmm. to this country's efforts in Afghanistan. And he has taken great political risks to assist the United States. And I think that has to be taken into account. I mean, the truth is that the United States has supported many dictatorial governments in the past when they have supported us. And as the president has said, the United States and Musharraf are, in the president's word, tight.
Let's turn to domestic matters. This week, Michael Copper, former Enron financial executive, pleaded guilty to money laundering and wire fraud. It was a deal reached with federal prosecutors. Is he going to rat out the rest of the executive suite there?
Well, I think that must be what it means. Federal authorities moved yesterday to freeze the assets of Andrew Fastow, who is Enron's chief financial officer, and the assets of members of his family. That involves millions of dollars in bank accounts and property, and it tells us something about the direction in which the government is proceeding. It's classic, of course. Crack one person with knowledge, he implicates mm-hmm. others, and then the others are given an ugly choice, which generally ends in them trying to save themselves. Early confessions are worth more to prosecutors than late ones. So, we may see a little rush to the prosecutor's office here.
The president spent part of his working vacation in Oregon this week, where he announced a proposal to ease logging restrictions. With wildfires breaking out, does the administration's case that there's a pressing need for increased logging gain some strength?
Well, the president has identified a problem. Thick underbrush, overgrown up over years of protecting forests from fires, creates abundant fuel, results in infernos where in the dim distant past fires might race along a forest floor regularly, taking out that underbrush and not affect the bigger, older, taller timber. However, his solution to permit timber companies to clear and to cut on previously protected land raises all kinds of protests. I think one problem is that Western governors and all the various interest groups, residents, developers, timber companies, environmentalists, have been negotiating about this and have reached some sort of tentative agreement. So I think one big question is what the president's sudden intervention does to that agreement.
Okay. Linda, nice talking to you again.
Well, thank you very much, Scott.
Hope you'll be back soon. Thanks very much. NPR's Linda Wertheimer.